Please do not do anything that distracts from these proceedings. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. The applicant or their representative will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. Mr. Lang?
Yes. First application for public hearing this evening is conditional use number 1786. The application of Leon Burton to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a boat storage facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River Hundred, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 20.13 acres, more or less, lying northeast of Route 5, 1/4 mile northwest of Route 24. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on September 24th of 2009. For the benefit of council, I just passed down copies of the survey and site plan for this application. The commission during the public hearing heard comments from DLDOT, County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, and the Sussex Conservation District. Leon Burton Jr. was present and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1786 for Leon Burton for boat storage based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. Two, the use of the boat storage facility is of a public or semi-public character and is desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the area. Three, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, the site plan shall be subject to all appropriate agency approvals prior to review and approval by the commission. B, the boat storage facility will be open during daylight hours only. C, the perimeter of the site shall be fenced with a 7-foot high chain link type of fencing. The applicant may construct the fenced in area in phases. D, no maintenance of boats or vehicles shall be performed on site. E, all persons visiting the site shall be accompanied by representatives of the applicant or of boat dealers with valid business licenses. F, all boats and trailers moved to and from the storage yard on the site shall only be moved by representatives of local boat dealers holding valid business licenses. G, this approval is for boat storage only, not maintenance of vehicles or RV trailers. H, there may be lighted signage allowed on the site. The signage shall not exceed 32 square feet per side or facing. I, security lighting shall be provided on the site and shall be directed away from neighboring properties. And J, the site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved with the conditions and stipulations stated. And that motion carried 4-0. I've received no additional comments from any individual or agency to date since the 24th. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Any questions for Mr. Lank? Is Mr. Burton or his representative here? Good evening.
How are you? We submitted an application for the boat storage because of the need in the area. The area is still growing, and we do know one of the boat storage areas in the area will be closing down eventually. So this consists of 966 total slots. We want to start off with approximately 150 and then do it in stages. That's why the fencing was in stages and the lighting.
Okay. For the record, you are Leon Burton?
Yes.
And your address, please?
25476 Digger Drive, Millsboro.
Right. Anything else?
That's pretty much it. I mean, we're not going to have an office or anything like that. It'll just strictly be in and out for storage.
All right. Before we open it to the public, Does council have any questions for the applicant?
I have a question just for clarity, President. Leon, the one reference says all boats and trailers moved to and from the storage yard on the site should only be moved by representatives of local boat dealers holding valid business license. Will you or your dad or one of your employees be moving any boats around on the facility? So that you don't have a problem with that stipulation?
No.
Eric, do you have any problem with any of the others I read?
No.
Yeah. Thank you.
And that means that he can't if he wants to?
Oh, that's why I was asking. It seemed a little restrictive.
Sure, that's what you want?
Well, I'd prefer not to have it that way. But
that's what I was asking if you would like to, because in the one other stipulation it says all persons visiting the site shall be accompanied by representative of the applicant or of boat dealers with valid licenses, because most times the boats are brought in through the dealers. But in some cases, an individual might bring one, and you're going to locate it where you want it, and you may have to move it around.
Yeah, it is a possibility.
Mm-hmm. So under F, if this were to be approved, you would like to include representatives of you of the application being you or your dad or employee?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Lank. I think that's appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Practical.
Mr. Burton, do you own this property?
Yes.
Mr. Burton, do you feel that you have a need for any kind of security other than lighting and some fencing? You're not planning to have any other kind of security?
I think that should be sufficient.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we do live on the property, so we can.
Oh, you do?
We monitor who goes in and
all
out.
Right. All right.
All right.
All the boats will be at least 400 feet back off of Route 5.
Yes.
So, it's not like an eyesore out next to the road.
No, that's right.
If there's no other questions from council, you can take a seat and we'll see if the public has anything to say about this.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else in favor? If not, is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing no one, the public hearing would be over, Mr. Phillips.
Okay. And if there's no objection from council, we'll close the public record. All right. And with that said, we are going to consider this. If there's a motion, by consensus, it was felt that F, the condition, would also allow Mr. Burton or his family or employees to move boats around on site. Is that my understanding?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I make a suggestion that E be revised just to include the word local in front of boat dealers, since that way both E and F will be the same?
Okay. If there's no objection, we'll consider that done. If there's no further discussion and no objection from council, I'll ask our attorney to read the title.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a boat storage facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 20.131 acres, more or less, with conditions. And would you like me to read the conditions as amended?
I think it's appropriate, yes.
Number one, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or community. Two, the use as a boat storage facility is of a public or semi-public character and is desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the area. Three, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions stipulations. A, the site plan shall be subject to all appropriate agency approvals prior to review and approval by the commission. B, the boat storage facility will be open during daylight hours only. C, the perimeter of the site shall be fenced with a 7-foot-high chain-link type fencing. The applicant may construct the fenced-in area in phasing. D, no maintenance of boats or vehicles shall be performed on the site. E, all persons visiting the site shall be accompanied by representatives of the applicant or of boat dealers with valid business license or the family of the applicant. F, all boats and trailers moved to and from the storage yard on the site shall be moved by representatives of local boat dealers holding valid business licenses or the applicant or his family. G, G, this approval is for boat storage only, not maintenance of vehicles or RV trailers. H, there may be lighted signage allowed on the site. The signage shall not exceed 32 square feet per side or facing. I, security lighting shall be provided on the site and shall be directed away from neighboring properties. J, the site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Wasn't it suggested that in E, we put the word local in front of boat dealers to make E and F the same?
Yes.
A local, yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. With that information in front of us and the title have been read, would anyone like to make that motion, please?
Yeah, I will move for approval.
And is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve conditional use 1786 application of Leon Burton. Is there any further discussion? If not, we'll take the vote, and I'd ask council to give their reasons. Ms. Deaver.
I will vote yes, and I think there is a need in the area for boat storage that's adequately secure and doesn't create a blight on the area, and this sounds like an excellent project.
Thank you. Mr. Vincent.
Yes, I don't see anything negative about this, and based on recommendation of planning and zoning, I'll vote yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr.
Planning zoning.
Mr. Cole.
This area is known to be have a high concentration of boat owners and obviously boats, so with the location being close to the activity, it'll provide convenience and a shorter distance for people to store these boats, so I'll vote yes.
I'll vote yes as well. Notably absent from the audience, is anyone in opposition to this? And Planning and Zoning's recommendation of approval. Motion carried.
Okay. Mr. Lang for the next.
Next application is conditional use number 1787. The application of Robert C. Boyer Jr. to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a contractor's shop and storage yard to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Cedar Creek Country, Suffolk County, and a parcel containing 22.57 acres more or less, lying northeast of Covage Pond Road, also known as Road 214, 2,850 feet northwest of Benson Road, also known as Road 216. Planning and Zoning Commission again held public hearing on this application on September 24th, 2009. Just for the benefit of council, provide them with copies of the site plan survey for this application, the same survey that has been on file since the application was received. We heard comments from DLDOT, County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, Sussex Conservation District. We did receive an email in opposition from Ralph LaPrade, and expressed concerns that the area is not conducive to a commercial business, especially a septic cleaning company. That the area is a residential community with many new homes, which are adding beauty and desirability to the community. But the shop and storage is already built and is in use and should be stopped immediately, that a precedent could be established by permitting this use, as in the future roads will show the signs of heavy equipment and the increase in noise would disturb the community, besides bringing the unwanted additional smell of septic residue, that the community already has chicken waste being distributed over the land down Benson Road, and that the use would sandwich the community between chicken waste and human waste, and requested denial of the application. Mr. Boyer was present with Harry Murphy of Charles D. Murphy Associates Incorporated and gave presentations and testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to this application during the public hearing. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1787 for Robert C. Boyer Jr. for a contractor shop and storage area based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the use of the contractor shop and storage area for the applicant's business of installing septic systems is of a semi-public character and is desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the residents of Sussex County. To the applicant has stated that he is in the business of constructing septic systems. He is not in the business of pumping, hauling, and dumping septic systems. There will be no waste or sludge deposited on the site. 3, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. 4, no parties appeared in opposition to the project. 5, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, the business use shall be limited to the applicant's business as a septic system construction contractor. B, any security lights shall be screened downward so that they do not shine on neighboring or adjacent properties. C, as stated by the applicant, there shall not be a sign advertising the business on the site. D, as stated by the applicant, there shall only be 5 employees on site. E, the hours of operation shall be from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. from Monday through Saturday. F, the final site plan shall include a landscape plan designating all buffer areas and existing vegetation that will not be disturbed. And G, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that this application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated. And that motion carried 4-0. I received no additional comments from any other individuals or agencies except for the applicant. I did receive a letter today from the applicant informing us of 2 discrepancies within his comments made at the public hearing, that the applicant's representative was unaware that he has a Denrec waste hauler's license and a pump truck. The pumping of septic tanks has become a necessity due to maintaining the new innovative alternative type of septic systems now coming into use. There is no treatment or land application of this waste on his site. It is transported exclusively to the Kent County Waste Treatment Plant. The second discrepancy is that the applicant generally maintains 2 truckloads of stone on site, not 2 tons, as this is the average amount of stone required for a residential septic system. So that's a little different than what was stated. They were unintentional oversights, and hopes that this does not affect the commission's recommendation. And it was signed by Robert Boyer. So his 2 issues were the septic pump truck and the amount of stone. And the stone wasn't a condition of the commission. It was just part of the testimony. The only issue would be that if you granted approval and permitted him to use the pumping truck, then number 2 should change. I'm just basically strike out the number 2 reasoning and make it a condition whereby you permit pumping hauling of the septic system, but not to be the waste or sludge not deposited on the property. But basically, he'd be parking a truck there on the property on occasion.
Which would be full.
You'd have to ask him. We're about to find out.
Right.
I have a question. It's surrounded by Cedar Creek Estates. Now, you talked about landscaping, or the commission talked about landscaping, but I'm not sure if there are buffers protecting the community from.
Yeah, part of the property is already wooded, so he can explain where the wood line is.
Okay, so, all right, good.
Any other questions for Mr. Lank?
He's been in business for some time, right?
Correct. Violated, I guess.
Okay, so he's got a violation, and now he's applying. Okay.
He made his application, and then he had to move from his location. That was part of the testimony in the record.
Okay.
He had to move from where he was, and so he had to go and keep the business going. He had to go ahead and open, but he had already applied.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
All right. Is Mr. Bauer or his representative here?
Turn Mr. Godwin, you could maybe give him your speak, your turn yours around, maybe talk.
For the record, identify yourself and your address, please.
My name is Harry Murphy. I'm from Charles Murphy Associates, 14 South Maple Avenue, Milford, Delaware. This is a aerial photograph of the site. This is the shop in question, and I apologize for the resolution, but this is a strip of existing woods all the way around it. It's completely encompassed in woods.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I am here tonight to represent Robert Bauer and his conditional use application. Bob Bauer is owner and president of Midway Services Incorporated. They install septic systems and provide backhoe services. Bob began this business in 1988 at a site on Marshall Street outside of Milford. In 1994, Bob became a partner and co-owner of Swain Excavation in Lincoln. Soon after that, Bob moved the operations of Midway Services to the Swain Excavation Yard and worked from that location for almost 15 years. Approximately 2 years ago, Mr. Bauer applied for a conditional use with Sussex County to relocate Midway Services to the site depicted on this plan. Mr. Bauer purchased this property in about 1995 and constructed the existing pole barn structures approximately 10 or 11 years ago for the purpose of storing and working on his classic car collection. Access to this site would be via the existing stone drive, which is encompassed by an access easement. Mr. Bauer has received approval from DelDOT for this entrance, which is serving three parcels. As you can see from the aerial photography, the buildings and parking area are completely surrounded by woods, providing a natural buffer. As Mr. Bauer puts it, most of the people in the neighborhood don't even know these buildings exist. The operations of Midway Services do not involve much customer traffic. This is not a retail outlet. Therefore, traffic impact should be minimal. Midway Services Incorporated has been operating for over 20 years and has installed more than 2,500 septic systems, mostly in Sussex County. Midway employs five people full-time and has an excellent reputation. Mr. Bauer would like to continue his business at this site and hopes that this council will look favorably at this application. I thank you for your consideration to this matter.
Does council have any questions for the applicant's representative?
How close is he to the body of water there? How close is his property? I can't tell.
Body of water?
Mm-hmm.
The lake, Cubbage Pond.
I'm not sure. I may need help for that one.
Well, that white line is the property lines, I guess?
Yes, this is
okay.
This is the property line right here.
Oh, that's his property line?
Yes.
Hmm.
That shows water under his on his site.
These are shadows, I believe.
Are they?
No, it's water, I think.
I think those are shadows. The water's
coming. It'll Google it.
It's a pond.
It's a creek.
I don't believe that's the lake.
Are those shadows?
Sorry. Mm-mm. This is not the lake, is that right? This is not a body of water.
This is a body of water.
Yes. Oh, I apologize.
Yeah, it is.
I'm sorry.
This goes out to Cedar Creek.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's actually part of the property line of my property.
Okay.
I apologize.
Could you identify yourself for the record, please?
Robert Bauer, Lincoln, Delaware.
Any questions for Mr. Bauer from council?
I was just curious about your buffers around the waterway and what you have around the. I can't tell from the. I can't really see that well. But
it's also pretty much wooded.
Is it wooded around the waterway?
Yes.
Okay. And we're looking at it staying that way.
Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I just got one question. Under E, it says hours of operation. Just give us from 7 to 7. What kind of operations would you be doing there? Define. By operations, you come in.
My guys come in the morning. I show up at 6. They show up at 7.
Right.
I give them their directions, and they leave out and come back usually by 4. In the summertime, sometimes we're working pretty heavy, and we'll work.
But you're not fabricating anything there, are you?
No.
You're not. I mean, what kind of the little backhoe, or there's not one of those little machines going beep 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 all night long, is there?
No.
You know, back and going. Okay.
Well, the pumper truck would.
I'm sorry.
The pumper truck would.
No.
No.
Backup. Okay.
It only runs for. It's not a 24-hour service. It's not an emergency type service. Is that what you're getting at?
I don't know what she's talking about either.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, you had a question, George, about the pumper truck. It was going to have. It was going to sit there with septic on it, or not have septic on it.
Well, I mean, it's enclosed in the tank. I'm not. It's not. Yeah. He's not spreading it there or anything like that. And I'm sure those tank trucks don't leak. But that doesn't worry me so much. I was just curious about when we had 7 to 7. And it seems to me like, you know, guys are showing up here, leaving all day and going all day. I mean, with the residential concern, some of the people had some concerns at the residential nature of the area. Does it have to be 7 to 7? And I just, you know, I don't know. And I was trying to figure out, are you going to do anything on the site other than drive at it with a truck with some stones, but you're not going to be leaving at 6 o'clock at night?
No.
Right,
no.
You're coming home at those nights. So
yeah.
I don't know if there's any consideration of maybe reducing the hours a little bit, but that'd be the only thoughts.
Wouldn't really matter.
That's what I'm saying. With your operation, I can't imagine it would be. But I don't know if there's any opposition. We'll have to see.
We'll have to see.
Just some thoughts.
Any other questions for the applicant? All right. If you want to have a seat, we'll see what the public has to say.
If not, is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else in favor? If not, is there anyone who'd like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? If not, Mr. President, seeing no one willing to speak, that this public hearing shall be closed.
Thank you. Anything else from council before we close the record?
I have a suggestion on the reference to the hauling.
Yes. Mr. Lang, go ahead.
If this is supported and you grant approval, then you should add a number H in the condition that the applicant may continue operating a septic pumping and hauling vehicle. No waste or sludge shall be deposited on the site. That clarifies that problem.
Does that mean one?
So he is in the business of pumping and hauling and dumping.
Yes.
But not on site.
He is. What his letter said.
Right.
The other question about the tonnage that he's storing on site wasn't a condition of approval.
No.
It was stated in our record 2 tons, and it should have been 2 truckloads, which is going to be more than 2 tons.
Mr. Lank, would your desire be accomplished by number 2 simply stating he is not just striking out not, so it states he is in the business of pumping, hauling, and dumping. There will be no waste or sludge deposited on site.
Well, that's a reason, not a condition.
Gotcha.
What I felt it was appropriate as a condition.
Yes.
So basically, you would add that in number 2. You would be he is also in the business of pumping, hauling, and dumping septic systems, but there would be no waste or sludge deposit on the site. That's the statement that was made. And I suggested H that the applicant may continue operating a septic pumping and hauling vehicle or vehicles. Is it one? Okay. No waste or sludge shall be deposited on site. That clarifies the question.
Does council have any objections to that?
No.
It shall be considered H, as you just stated. Any other comments from council? If not, we'll ask the attorney to read the title.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a contractor shop and storage yard to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek Country, Sussex County, containing 22.57 acres more or less, with conditions. And those conditions are, use as a contractor's shop, this recommendation for approval subject to following condition stipulations. The business use shall be limited to the applicant's business as a septic system construction contractor, and a security lights be screened downward so they do not shine on neighboring or adjacent properties. As stated by the applicant, there should be no sign advertising the business on the site. D, as stated by the applicant, there shall only be 5 employees on site. E, the hours of operation shall be from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. from Monday through Saturday. F, the final site plan shall include a landscape plan designated all buffer areas and existing vegetation that will not be disturbed. G, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission. H, that the applicant may continue to operate his pumping business, but there will be no storage or application on site.
Okay.
Mr. Lank, does that take in your concern in the addition that you put in?
Yeah, I believe so.
Mr. Vincent?
Well, if I understand what you just said, then that means that truck can't have anything in it on site.
Pardon?
It what?
The truck can't can't have anything in the thing on the site. No, you said no
dumping.
No, it can't dump.
No, you, what you're writing was no storage.
No waste or sludge shall be deposited on the site's what I had written.
But that's not what he read in the record.
Well, he changed a little bit. Or, yeah, said applied, I thought.
No, he said no storage or application.
Okay.
For clarity's sake.
The storage out there.
For clarity purposes, Mr. Moore, could you read that again, just that particular item?
That the applicant may continue to operate his pumping operation. However, there will be no application on site.
Yeah.
Does that satisfy you,
Mr. Fine?
That's good. Yeah. All right. Could I get a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve conditional use 1787, the application of Robert C. Bowers, Jr. Is there any further discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver.
Yes.
And your reasons, please.
It's adequately protected from, or let's put it this way, the community is protected from the operation, and I don't think it's going to cause any concern or shouldn't cause any concern. It looks like a good, clean operation to me, and the commission approved it. So,
Mr. Vincent.
Yeah, it looks like to me that the thing is entirely buffered around there. The community won't see it. It's not a high usage area. There's no sign out there advertising it. And based on recommendation of planning and zoning, I vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
On the basis of planning and zoning, and also it's been in business for 20-some years. You have to know what he's doing, and certainly needed. And I just vote for it.
Mr. Cole.
Yeah, the parcel is large enough to accommodate this activity, and it's with little or no adverse effects, I believe, on the neighboring residential properties.
And I vote yes as well. It's an appropriate use in light of the situation, and with the conditions, the community will be protected. Motion carried.
Thank you. Mr. Lang, the next application, please.
Next application is conditional use number 1848. It's the application of Todd Bariglio to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for business and professional offices to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 4.711 acres, more or less, lying at the southwest corner of Cedar Grove Road, also known as Road 283, and Plantation Road.
Mm-hmm.
This application was also reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission in public hearing on September 24th. The applicants to the commission provided an exhibit booklet. It's a three-ring binder about an inch thick. I got some of the booklets back, so I will pass these down for the council.
Only three of us.
That book has been a part of the record since September 14th, 2009.
Pass one down, Sam. He doesn't. I know he can't read.
Mm-hmm.
The comments from Deldot were summarized. They are part in the booklet also. County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division provided comments on September 24th. Sussex Conservation District provided comments on September 24th. They're also part of the record in my summary. We received two letters in support of the application, one from Gene Dvornik, Jr., resident of Plantations, and also Suzanne Powell, resident of Plantations.
He has a Plantations address, but I don't think he lives there. It doesn't matter.
That's
why I
stated. That's what I went by.
Okay. All right. Well. Okay.
We also had a letter. We received a letter in opposition from Robert Kaplan.
America.
It does to me.
Which is referenced in my record. Todd Bariglio was present with Dennis Schrader, attorney, Wilson Halbrook and Byard Professional Association, Mike Ryman, professional engineer with Becker Morgan Group, Brad Hastings, architect with Becker Morgan Group, and Jeff Gross, professional engineer with Duffield Associates, and gave testimony and presentations. There were no parties present in support of this application. Betty Deacon of Sandy Bray, Julie Moray, I'm sorry if I said it wrong, I apologize, of Plantation East, Tom Captor of Adlett Estates, along with Loretta Mahan, Giuseppe Mastrangelo, Michael Robertson, and Jane Krause, all of Adlett Estates, gave testimony in opposition. Again, that's part of my record. Ms. Deacon also submitted a petition in opposition on behalf of residents of the Retreat subdivision and a listing of housing units that exist along Plantation Road. The petition contained 45 signatures. The listing referenced 11 projects totaling 1,438 homes. Mr. Ryman responded to some of the questions raised before the commission, and the commission deferred action on September 24th and has yet to make a recommendation. And again, I've received no additional comments from anyone or in agencies to date. That's all I have, unless you have questions.
Any questions for Mr. Lank from council? If not, is the applicant here or his representative?
Yes, sir. Site plans.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the benefit of the record, my name is Dennis Schrader. I'm the attorney of record for Todd Viriglio, who is the applicant. In conditional use number 1848, I have with me this evening Mr. Viriglio, Mike Ryman, and Brad Hastings from Becker Morgan Group, who will present the technical review of this particular application. Just simply by way of revisiting the history of this particular site, I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with it, but it is located on Plantations Road at the intersection of Postal Lane, which runs from Route 1 to Plantations Road, and on Cedar Grove Road, which is the continuation of Postal Lane to the southwest. On this particular map, you'll see it marked by the yellow area. By way of getting you oriented, if you go this way, you're going to wind up with Lowe's, Home Depot. This is part of the plantations. This area in here is part of the development on Route 1. And you can see Super Fresh, the commercial zone down here, are our medical center offices. And for just for information purposes, Ms. Deaver is right about there, which is about a half a mile from the site on the other side of the road. There are various activities that take place on this site. And up and down Plantations Road, as you know from recent applications. This was brought to you earlier this year as a B1 application. There were a number of comments that were made during that process as to why we were here as a B1, and as you may recall at that time, at the time of the original filings of the two applications, there were two parcels that were under contract. That included a site across the street from this site on the same side of Plantations Road, and in the time frame between the application and the time we were able to get to you earlier this summer, the contract had expired. It would not renew or extend. We were stuck with a situation where we were in a B1 mode because we'd been there for 2 years under the application but had lost half the property. As Mr. Cole is often wont to do, he always asks, why are you here with a change of zone when you could be here for conditional use? We would have more control over the property. For once in my life, Mr. Cole, I accepted the wisdom of your comments, and we came back as a conditional use because we only had the one tract of
land. So it's my fault.
Well,
you're here.
I'll let you settle that up with yourself later on. Be that as it may, that is how we got here this evening. We are here as a conditional use. The application is a conditional use for professional and general offices. This particular site, if you'll bear with me for 1 second, is, as I have described to you, at the southwest corner of Plantations Road and Cedar Grove Road. Along Plantations Road, from Five Points on to the southwest or southeast, there are, among other things, the 1,400 or so residential uses that were referred to in the correspondence by Mr. Lang. There are also non-residential activities, including a church, a beauty salon, a small engine repair shop, entrance to a borrow pit, propane storage tanks, wastewater treatment plant for the plantations, well sites, windswept stables. Adjacent to the site that was under contract with Viriglio but which was lost is an MRRPC that is yet to be developed. Currently, there have been approved conditional uses for professional offices along Plantations Road, and there was a daycare center pending at one time, and I'm not sure of the current status of that, so it may or may not have been approved. This particular site is 4.711 acres. It's located in an AR1 area. It's currently a vacant site. The proposed application is for a conditional use for professional and general offices, as we have discussed. It is located in an environmentally sensitive developing area, in a low-level area where neighborhood businesses are a recommended use. And it's also on the state strategy map for spending in a level 3, which identifies an area where the state expects growth to occur. And that is, as you can see from the various photos that we have, there has been growth in the area. We have submitted to you an exhibit book that is of some significance in terms of having all of the various technical data that Mike Ryman will refer to and provide you with the factual basis for supporting this application. There are two that I want to draw your attention to right now. And quickly, they are Exhibit 2.18. And at that tab, you will see the PLUS review of this particular project. And there was no objection to this project by PLUS. And at 1.4, Mike and I decided that because it is in an environmentally sensitive developing area and because it is the proposal of this applicant to have a lead project, that is in an environmentally developed site, that it was important that we provide to you the considerations that go into an environmentally sensitive developing area. This project is smaller than would require that statement to be made, but it was added to the book because we thought it was of importance to this particular project.
Is that a condition? Are we talking about a condition?
Well, ma'am, that's up to you all, I suppose.
I mean, are you proposing that it will be made
condition? We have proposed conditions at the end. I have not specified that it was lead because, as I understand it, and Mr. Hastings will be here to better explain it,
okay,
you undertake certain activities in order to get yourself qualified for lead, and then somebody comes and tells you if you were lead or not. I don't think you can say that. If you tell us to meet the LEED standards, we would be happy because that's the proposal. But we can't tell you that we can be certified because that's outside of our control. Mm. Fair enough? Mm.
So you might.
I mean, we might do all of the things correctly and still not get the certification. With those thoughts in mind, I will bring Mr. Ryman up, and he will describe for you the surrounding areas, the site, the proposed use of the site, and the considerations that go into this application.
Good evening. My name is Mike Ryman. I'm a professional engineer licensed in the state of Delaware. I'm with Becker Morgan Group. We are the civil engineers and architects for the project. For the record, our address is 309 South Governors Avenue in Dover. And I just want to take a minute just to expand on what Dennis talked about as related to the surrounding area. You know, our site is located on the corner of Plantation Road, Cedar Grove Road, and all you can see here that DelDOT is planning a future realignment of Cedar Grove Road to align with Postal Lane. We'll talk about that in more detail a little bit later. There are significant residential development around the project, consisting of high-density residential zones and medium-density residential zones, as well as the medium-density MRRPC zone, which is directly across the street and was once a part of this application. In addition, there is also significant commercial development in short proximity to the site, consisting of various commercial projects along Route 1, as well as along Route 24. BB Medical Center is located here, and recently a conditional use for business professional medical office was recently approved on this property adjacent to the BB Medical Center. That's known as the Varola development. Walmart is actually located here. In addition to the proximity to the residential areas, there is a Sussex County pump station directly across the street, located at the intersection. So we're just a stone's throw away from public sewer.
You said across the street there's an MRRPC. What? Could you point to that for me?
That's actually this property known as the Sayers property.
Okay. You're saying it's been approved as an MRRPC?
It's zoned MRRPC.
Okay. Okay. I understand what you're saying now. All right. Fine. Thank you.
It was zoned that way through an approval process, though.
Correct. It was zoned that way as part of a 45 lot residential development that was planned for that, that didn't go through.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have included the property that was under contract that was lost by Mr. Beriglio. It was a piece of that MRRPC.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Currently, as Dennis mentioned, the property is vacant. We have performed a full boundary and topographic survey of the property. That's included in your book under tab 2.3. There are no wetlands on the property. It's a pretty clean property. There's no structures or anything of that nature, no woodlands. What we are proposing is 45,000 square feet of medical and professional office buildings separated in two 22,500 square foot buildings. So each building is 22,500 square feet. Building one is shown here. Building two is shown in this location. They're two stories. And in one of the buildings, we are proposing some understory parking. We're doing that to try to limit the impervious coverage on the property and try to get some of the parking under the building so that we can have some more green space. Tab 2.4 of your manual includes the actual black and white drawing that was submitted for the record as part of our application. And then the tab next to that actually includes this drawing if you want something to look at a little bit closer at your spot there. The layout behind this development is sort of a campus-style development. We're doing this in two different buildings, creating a plaza sort of in the center. We're doing that for a couple of reasons. One is the LEED certification that Mr. Hastings will get into. By separating the buildings into two components and positioning them on the site relative to sun angle, you can take advantage of sun coming into the buildings through windows and actually reduce the energy required to heat and cool the spaces. We're proposing parking around the building, trying to distribute parking evenly to the building and provide close proximity so people don't have to walk too far to get into the building. We are proposing 238 parking spaces. We believe 225 parking spaces are actually required, so we exceed that. We are proposing that stormwater management be handled via some green technology. Again, this is in keeping with our LEED goals and the fact that we're in the ESDD OZ zone. Those green technologies include underground stormwater infiltration, as well as a bioretention area. DENREC has been pretty adamant about pushing green technologies for stormwater, and we are trying to deliver on that. We're proposing a multimodal path along the frontage of Plantation Road. That would be a 10-foot wide path. That is at the request of DELDOT. DELDOT typically requests multimodal paths along the road frontages, and we are providing that. The buildings both would be sprinkler. That's in accordance with the fire marshal regulations. The buildings are over 10,000 square feet and would be required to be sprinkler. We provide adequate fire lane access around the buildings. For these buildings, about 25% perimeter accessibility would be required. We actually greatly exceed that, or about 70%. So we have great access for fire department. The entrance location shown here is pushed as far away from the intersection as possible. And what you see here, this is the current Cedar Grove Road, and this is the future Cedar Grove Road alignment. That information was actually provided to us by DELDOT. When this project went through, previously known as Cedar Grove Estates, when it was planned, there was an agreement to provide land off of that property, and that alignment has actually been decided at that point. So what you see here is actually the proposed Cedar Grove Road alignment. So our access that you see in this location is shown as the temporary access point to Cedar Grove Road with a decel lane and bypass lane. It's designed in accordance with the current DELDOT requirements. So based on the DELDOT manual and regulations, these are the required improvements for that. And then at the time that this road alignment is completed, that entrance would be extended and that access point would be coordinated with DELDOT. We do show significant landscaping around the perimeter of the project, as well as throughout our courtyard and adjacent to the building. Again, with consideration of aesthetics and appeal, we want a very nice project here and very nice looking property. As far as effect on adjacent properties, we don't believe that this project would be a negative impact to the neighbors. We believe that this project will actually benefit the surrounding area by providing services in close proximity to residents. In addition, this project is estimated to cost about $7 million. Given the current economic situations, we think a $7 million project would be an asset to the county and would help with the current economic situation. We think that about 60 long-term jobs would exist or be created. and about 150 construction jobs would be created for this project. In addition to that, we estimate about $185,000 would be paid to Sussex County in the form of impact fees. As Dennis mentioned, this project did go through the PLUS process, although it was not required to go through the PLUS process. Because the scale of the project is less than 75,000 square feet in total square footage, it's not required to go through PLUS. However, it went through PLUS when it was a rezoning, and we've included for you in the booklet the PLUS comments as well as the PLUS response, and there was no objection from the state when that process was completed. As I mentioned, DLDOT has been an integral part of this project. We have met with them on multiple occasions to discuss the road realignment. This project is of a significance that DLDOT is not requiring that we do a traffic impact study for this project. They are asking that we provide a contribution to the road realignment of Cedar Grove Road, and we have agreed to do that, and that correspondence is included in your book. So we are paying a portion of that road realignment. Tabs 2.14 and 2.17 include the various correspondence related to that contribution. There have been lots of questions about traffic from the neighbors. We all know that traffic along Plantation Road on the weekends is heavy. Plantation Road is used as an alternate route to the beach. I've used it myself, and we are more than aware of that. However, we are proposing an office use that we believe will operate during the week, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. So we do not believe that our peak hour traffic from our site would coincide with what the peak hour traffic of Plantation Road is. We have included for you the summary of all of those discussions with DLDOT and plans that we've submitted to them and agreements that we've made with them in the form of a letter of no objection. We have received that from them. It's included in your book under tabs 2.17. As Dennis mentioned, we are in the ESDDOZ zone. Again, like PLUS, because our project is less than 75,000 square feet, we're technically not required to respond to those comments. But we take very seriously the LEED project and the attention that we have given to the environmental sensitivity, and it felt only appropriate that we should include our response to those items, and we have done that. I'm not going to go through each of those. I'll be happy to answer any questions on any specific one that you might have, but for now I'm not going to go through those. As it relates to sewer and water, as I mentioned, a sewer pump station actually exists across the street, and on this blown-up drawing you can see it better. It's actually right here. So sewer is very close to this project. In terms of water, a 12-inch water main actually runs along Plantation Road directly in front of the project, which would serve, be more than adequate to serve this project. That is a Tidewater water main, and we are in Tidewater's district, so we would be getting water from them. Tidewater has provided, and in your booklet, a ability to serve or willing and able to serve letter, so we do have that confirmation from them. And with that, I will turn it over to Mr. Hastings, who is the architect for the project, who is LEED certified, and can speak to the LEED process.
Mr. Moore, can I ask you a question on this?
Yes.
Is retail allowed, then, if it, under this application, would retail, any kind of retail outlet be allowed?
This is conditional use, and you would be able to put conditions on.
So it would be according to what conditions were applied to it?
Yes.
Okay, I see. Okay. So, but he said medical and professional.
The application for business and professional.
Business and professional. I wasn't sure if that included retail or not. Does not include retail.
Now, some, if you had an eye doctor there, they're going to be selling
glasses,
uh-huh. But that type of thing would be permitted with it, but not out and out retail.
Okay. All right, thanks.
If you'll permit me, Ms. Deaver, we are not proposing any retail sales at this site. Although, as Lawrence points out, there are certain things that are incumbent. You've got an insurance agent there, they're going to be selling insurance policies. But I don't consider that to be retail.
Mm-hmm. Good evening, I'm Brad Hastings. I'm a principal architect and LEED accredited professional with Becker Morgan Group, Incorporated. Here tonight to discuss some of the LEED aspects. You've heard that mentioned before, LEED, Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design. It's a green building rating system that's a voluntary consensus-based standard nationwide and actually worldwide to support and certify successful green building design, which I think everyone hears the green term thrown around a lot nowadays. And I'll touch basically on the process because I think that there may be some questions on that. LEED has five environmental categories: sustainable sites, water efficiency, energy and atmosphere, materials and resources, and indoor environmental quality. There are also two other portions to it: innovation and design process, and regional priority credits, which are regionally specific environmental priorities. And it works on a rating scale of 40 to 110. And there are four different certifications. You can have a project that's certified, and the 40 to 49, it goes then to silver, then to gold, and the highest standard is platinum, which is 80 to 110 points. So the intent is to achieve the highest rating possible. The process is done that you register your project in the design phase, and that gets you, you register it with the United States Green Building Council. That means you intend to pursue a LEED certification. It's a process that works throughout the design and construction, so it's a team process, owner, designers, contractors. When the project is finished, you have to submit all of the paperwork and sundry items that go with that to prove to the Green Building Council that you've met all the standards. That's where they assign you the points, and then based on the points that you achieve, that's where your certification comes from. So there are no guarantees of any certification until you're through the entire construction process, and the Green Building Council does their audit and assigns a final point total to you.
I have a question about that, if you don't mind. I understand that LEED would not give points for building on an environmentally sensitive site.
It depends on the site itself. This site would not gain points by building where it's at, but it's not in a site that's not allowed. There are certain sites which are not allowed, but this is not that type of site. Okay. So I'll talk briefly about some of the specific items with the site and the building here, just to again go over. You've heard some of these discussed already, but the pervious paving with the site, the understory parking areas here, which again allow you to minimize the site disturbance there, as well as the rainwater collection. Also green roofs, which you can see located here on the site plan, and you can see on a couple of the renderings there, which again minimize the runoff, as well as site lighting, which would be dark sky lighting. It limits any outdoor lighting to be on the site itself. You don't have any spillover onto adjacent sites. Low-flow toilets, waterless urinals would be utilized to deal with water efficiency. With energy and atmosphere, we'd be utilizing geothermal HVAC systems, also high-performance glazing. You can see the number of windows shown on the rendering, and high-performance insulation systems within the building. Materials and resources, we'd be utilizing recycled content and regional materials to achieve points. And then with the indoor environmental quality, utilizing low VOC materials, underfloor mechanical systems, which give you a better flow with your HVAC, sun shades, which you can see again on the renderings there, and daylight harvesting using light shells and the clear story windows, which you again see in the renderings here, to bring natural light in, which minimizes use of electricity. Our initial estimates are that the project impact would, this project would use 33% less energy than a typical project of its size and character, and 40% less water. So an overall lessen the environmental impact.
Thank you. Let me just make a few closing comments. Excuse me. First off, I'd like to point out that the proposed application is has been described by Mr. Hastings, is in fact intended to be a green technology building, and it should be something that the people on Plantations Road would want. I know there have been a lot of expressions of environmental concerns on that road recently.
this is a chance to actually have something in Sussex County. It's my understanding that there are only three or four LEED certified buildings in the state of Delaware, and hopefully with your permission, this will be one of those, and it will give you an opportunity to have something that's a bit of a show place. It is consistent with the comprehensive plan, in that the comprehensive plan does look for this area to have these types of professional general offices available. It is not rampant commercialism as we see on Route 1. It is intended to supply a support for the people who live in a region that require medical or general office needs. It meets the purposes of a conditional use in an AR1 district. There has been no objection from the Office of State Planning Coordination through the PLUS review, nor has there been any objection from DLDOT. There have been a couple letters of support, and I know that behind me there are 20 or so people who appeared at the Planning and Zoning Commission when Joan and I were at the last meeting. And Joan and I seem to be doing this once a week with each other, although she tells me she's not in my fan club. Or at least that's what she said at the Planning and Zoning
Meeting. You forgot to tell us about that pool that was on that drawing. What's
you're talking about
this
man?
Swimming pool that I
that's
saw?
That's for the geese.
You're talking about the retention pond?
Yeah, the big thing there.
That retention pond is a DLDOT
storm. Are they going to put that in?
That is a DLDOT stormwater management pond. It is not a part of our project.
Oh, okay.
It was identified as a part of the highway improvements that they proposed
for
that intersection.
Okay, that's what they're going
to
do?
Right. If it were up to me, it would have at least fish in it.
They're going to bring geese in.
Sir?
They're going to bring in geese, Canadian geese.
I don't know if they're going to allow any hunting, but I bet we could get some hook and release in there. Just some small bass would be nice. There is water and sewer available to this particular site. The County Engineering Department has acknowledged that this could come out of the Gosley Creek study area, go into the West Rehoboth expansion by crossing the road, and that provides for the sewer. The water is available for tide water, and I think I would leave you with this last thought, and that is, gentlemen, Ms. Deaver, you almost always find doctor's offices in residential areas or professional offices, and that's what we're proposing here, is to put a professional offices and general business offices that would support that in a residential area. It is not inconsistent with what Plantations Road may or may not be. With those thoughts in mind, as Ms. Deaver has pointed out, there are proposed findings and conditions of approval that I have put in the book that will give somebody an opportunity to work with something along the way. Mr. Hastings, Mr. Ryman, and I are available to answer any questions you may have about this application, the LEED process, or how we got here.
Does council have any questions?
The demand for general or medical office space, we've seen a rash of them down on 24 at the intersection. There's new buildings and complexes and stuff. Is there still a demand for them? Did you do any studies or did you do anything to give us some kind of
I don't think
indication?
That we did any studies per se, but if you take a look at the Cape Gazette on a periodic basis, you'll see that new doctors are being brought into the area on a rather routine basis. Also, with the expansion of the BB Medical campus as it goes forward, this will be positioned to support that probably at some point in time, and I'm speculating, I'm not giving you facts. At some point in time, BB will outgrow downtown Lewis and have to move to a better site.
In one of the buildings, what do you project how many offices will be in each building approximately?
I think the minimum is 1,000 square feet, right? It's 47,000 square feet, so hypothetically you could have 47,000 offices or 47 offices. Good. That's why I'm a lawyer, not a mathematician.
47 offices,
but quite frankly, that's incredibly small. And I can't imagine under any circumstance you would ever see offices that small in there. We had estimated when we were doing this before the Planning Commission that maybe the minimum would run in the 20 range. That's two buildings, and that would divide it up into about 2,000 plus square foot offices.
Any other questions?
I'm sorry, go ahead, Mr.
Wells.
What did you say the cost was going to be?
Say again, please.
How much was the cost? What was the cost?
To construct it?
Yeah.
I believe the estimate was around $7 million.
Oh, I thought so, I mentioned it. $7 million.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Deaver?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I want to ask you about the parking. Did you say you would have underground parking?
Yes, ma'am. There is underground ground parking.
But you will have parking that's also visible. You have parking.
Oh, at this point in time, we've calculated the parking to be in excess of the minimum. With the calculation that we used, we have excess parking that includes all of the surface parking plus the underground parking. Depending upon which calculation you use, we have more than will be necessary. But there are portions that will be underground, mm-hmm. out of sight. The parking issue is a bit of a problem with medical and professional offices in the sense that if it's medical, people don't like to get out of their car and walk 500 yards to their doctor's office. They want to be as close as they can. Depending upon the health of the person, there may be good reason for that.
But you've got houses, that's houses right across the road there, right? So people would be, there's houses right there across the road. So people would be looking at this office building. Aren't those houses right there?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, they right across the street there.
There is landscaping that's proposed along there that will give some shelter, mm-hmm. to the visibility of this office. I don't think as an office building, if you looked at the architect's rendition, it's not an ugly building. It's pretty nice looking.
Two-story building, right?
Yeah, but mm-hmm. it's got a lot of different features to it that will make it attractive. And I would point out one last thing, and that is that on Plantations Road, the primary entrance to the project is up here on Cedar Grove, so that the people that are over here in Idlewild, I believe it's Idlewild Estates, mm-hmm. will not be looking at any traffic coming and going off the site. We'll be back around the corner and up here.
Any other questions for the applicant before we open it up to the public?
Are you going to use local people, local builders? Do you know?
I believe there are a lot who are available, ma'am. I remember that there are a lot of contractors who would love to have any kind of job right now, and I believe that that won't be a problem.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Schrader. Mr. Moore.
Yes. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this project? Anyone else in favor? If not, is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition? Yes. Would you come forward, please?
Good evening. I hope I don't bore you because I'm going to say a little bit of what I've said before, but it's a different project and I want to get it on the record. What I've given to the council is what the existing
house is. Could you state your name and address for the record, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Betty Deacon, 18201 Hickory Lane, Lewis, Delaware. I live in Sandy Bray and I'm also representing the Sandy Bray Homeowners Association tonight. What I've given to the council is an outlay of the different developments that are located on Plantation Road, and that goes from Route 24 to Route 9. And we've now also added Eagle Point to that because Eagle Point exits out onto Plantation Road also. So we now see that there's at least 1,538 homes that are coming on to Plantation Road. And we have traffic all the time. And I can't believe there's going to be an office building where nobody ever comes in on Saturday and Sunday. Or a medical building. I don't believe that. We have office buildings on Route 24. We have all of Route 1 is commercial. We don't need them in a residential neighborhood. BB Medical Center down there is not full yet. I had my knee replaced last November, and after my doctor released me to drive 2 weeks later, I was going to BB Medical Center on Route 24 to have my blood tested. And I would rather go there than on Plantation Road, because it's hard as heck to drive around on Plantation Road to begin with. And I wanted to say a few other things. I think it's outrageous that DelDOT did not require a traffic study for this when they know what the problems are on Plantation Road. I think that's absolutely outrageous. And I wanted to clarify this entrance to the borough pit. You know, they said there's an entrance to a borough pit. That borough pit is going to be Arbors at Cottagedale. So it's right next to Mackenzie Way, right next to the church. So that could be another 218 houses sitting there that'll be coming on the Plantation Road also. I've done a little bit of looking at the LEED guidelines, and one of the things that I think it says is you can't be building on what is agricultural land. The last use was agricultural land. If you do that, it's not eligible. So I'm presenting that as a possibility. Finally, the only good thing about this is, if there is a good thing, that people in Adelaide with that big pond over there, maybe a couple of them can sell your homes as waterfront views. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
My name is Julia Morey, and I live at 383 Lakeside Drive in Plantations East.
Thank you.
I, too, have been up here before, and I'll repeat a few things that Betty just said, but I wanted to repeat them for the record for the council. I don't see that there's any proven need for additional professional and office buildings and medical space. Someone earlier, I believe from the applicant, even said there was a new office space over near the BB campus. And I know that there have been several medical buildings that have gone up in recent time, and they're not occupied at all, one right across from BB Hospital. So I don't see a proven need for this particular building. Also, the traffic problem. It's going to increase our traffic on an already extremely dangerous intersection. We all know that live there anyway that Postal Road and Cedar Grove Road are an accident waiting to happen. And I know there's a proposal from DelDOT to straighten that road out, but they're not even going to think about it till 2014, mm-hmm. according to the people at DelDOT at the latest presentation. They gave us, and 2014 in DelDOT terms may mean 2040 in the real world. And it is a really bad, bad intersection. Every time I go by there, I hold my breath, hoping that somebody won't get hit. But most importantly to me and to the other people in Plantations East and in other residential areas around us is the fact that we have a residential road. That's something that we bought for. We don't want business and professional buildings to go up. We have a few conditional use built businesses on the road now, but they're all operating out of private homes. So there's no real identification as a professional office. Approval of the project's going to set a precedence. Next thing you know, and I understand there's already a request for a daycare center. Who knows what else is going to happen? Personally, I don't want to see Route 1 in my backyard. I already sort of have it in my front yard. And that's okay. I can get to it without actually seeing it. But these are things that I would see every day. And that's why I would not like to see this project approved. I like the project, by the way. It really is a nice building. I'd just like to see it built maybe somewhere else and in a time that need is when it's necessary. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak?
Good evening. My name is Loretta Mahan, and I live at 34761 Lauren Drive, and I do live in Idalot Estates, which is directly across from this proposed project. Bear with me this evening because this is the third time I'm standing in front of council and or planning and zoning and trying to talk about how this impacts the people who live in this area. None of us purchased a home in a residential area to have to live with the potential of living across from a commercial site. As was just mentioned by this person who just spoke, these are lovely buildings and they may be of great value sometime in the future, most definitely in a different area, but not in a residential area. With close to 1,500, a concentration of residents living in that area, we didn't buy our homes with the intent of having them, our property values possibly lowered because of having commerce next to us or in front of us. It is, she said that one was in her backyard, one would be in her front yard. This would be in my front yard. So I would have to look across and see commercial buildings. That just is not acceptable to us. I'm concerned about some verbiage that I heard here tonight. The original proposal talked about a professional building and a medical building. Then I'm hearing general office. So I'm saying to myself, if indeed council recognizes this as a viable project and approves this, and it is approved under a conditional, what can we expect next? What really is going to be in there? I want you to look beyond this. I want you to look at the future of where we are and the development that we have in that area. There are so many vacant professional offices, medical offices. There's not a need for this building. So even if this were to be built in another location, as council, you have a responsibility to the community to look at this. Is this needed so that we can have a variance to get this thing built? I'm upset. I'm concerned. I'm worried about how council is thinking about this. Put yourself in the positions of the people who have purchased real estate in this area. This is not in the best interest of a residential area. We're going to look like we're stuck in the middle of two thumbs. We'll have commercial behind us, commercial in front of us, and what comes next? If this is a conditional use on a small parcel across on Plantation Road, what about all the other parcels that are going to be next to it? Who's going to put in a conditional variance for that, and what are they going to be? Where does that leave us from a traffic perspective, from a safety perspective, from an aesthetic perspective, and most importantly to all of us, property values? Most of us who are living in that community, there are 59 homes of us in Idlewild alone. All of us, our children are grown. We're living here. We're going to be there to the dirt nap, hopefully. I look at this and I say, we all want to grow the area. These are beautiful buildings, but not in the middle of a residential area. We don't even have a need for professional and medical offices in an area where when you drive up and down the road, you can go into any mall or any small business complex, and you know what you're going to see? Office space available. Office space available. So please, as you look forward to this, you know, I heard when we had some comments coming to us as to whether or not some of your other projects should have been approved or not. It was stated whether or not it was a blight on the area. My goodness, if you have a residential area and you have a two-story building right across from it with no other commercial real estate invisible on that road, how could that not be a blight on the area? You have a high concentration of residents, ladies and gentlemen, and I just have to say to you, please, take a look. Care about your community. Look beyond the tax dollars. Look at how this is going to benefit the community. We're looking at it as to how it might benefit or hurt our area. We want you to vote this down. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition, sir?
Good evening. My name is Joe Mangini, 34758 Lauren Drive in Idlewild Estates. I just have a short comment to make. I'd be looking at that building, you know, from my front yard, too. And I bought that home to have a residential home, not to live in a commercial area. I was at a Civic Association meeting Saturday, and there was about 35 people or so there, and there was not one person for it. And, I'm not for it. Building is beautiful, but it's not in a residential. We live in a residential area, and that just does not fit in a residential area. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition?
My name's Dean Smith.
Can you repeat that in the microphone, please?
Yeah, Dean Smith. I live at 18537. Ryan Court, that's in Idlewild Estates. I'm a retired professional firefighter from Montgomery County, Maryland. Moved down here in 02. I guess I could be considered part of the influx of...
Come here's.
influx of the area. Okay. I'm just going to speak on this on a safety aspect of it, and I think it is kind of deplorable that DelDOT didn't offer a study. There's been, I'm sure, lots of studies for the traffic impact on our area. However, when I first moved here, I was still employed, and I was commuting back and forth, and I was still an EMT. And since I've lived here, I have personally worked three very devastating to the people that were involved accidents at that intersection. It is not an accident waiting to happen. It is an accident. It's not waiting. People are seriously injured there very regularly. If you're not familiar with the area, I would invite council, all the council members, to come by, check it out, see what it is personally. It is a residential area. Mrs. Ruby Idlet is sitting in the back of the chambers here. We were speaking one time, and she referred to her home as the country. It's changing quickly. As Loretta was just saying, you know, I fear for the home values. If we continue this way of the growth. Now I'm heartened that we're having these discussions, and I hope the council can see our points of view. But as far as DelDOT concerned, the safety of that intersection, it isn't going to get any better with any more growth. And like the last speaker said, who knows when it's going to change? Who knows when that situation will be changed? In the summertime, and it doesn't have to be on the weekends. That Plantation Road will back up from Route 24 up to Idlet Estates, which is a good, it's about a half a mile. So that's a half a mile trying to wait to get through that traffic light down there. And yes, sometimes Postal Lane will get backed up halfway down Postal. So, you know, and they'll sit. And any construction, anything to add to that is just going to be devastating. So thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you.
Thank you. I believe someone started to come up. Ma'am? I would ask that if you've heard the other comments, if you not reiterate some of the others or repeat things that have been said before. Thank you.
You're welcome. My name is Mary Cox. I'm here to represent the Eagle Point Coalition. I live at 17716 Brighton Drive at Eagle Point in Lewis. Since no traffic impact study was required for this project, we wanted to add to the record the information that was provided about traffic congestion for the arbors of Cottagedale, which is proposed to be, as you all know, a 216-unit apartment development on Mackenzie Way and Plantation Road. And if you average out the traffic average daily trips that the developer presented first in his PLUS application in 08, for 1728, and then the GMB letter to Lawrence Lank in March 10, 09, 1,425 trips. The average is about 1,600 daily trips that would be added to Plantation Road. And that's all I'm going to say. We are opposed to the project. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition?
Kathy Biederman, 34761 Lauren Drive. I live in Idlet Estates. Wasn't prepared to come here, but I am prepared to tell you I'm not for your development. Not that I don't, I've been in construction management for 30 years myself, so I'm well aware of development and growth and what that does mean to a community. However, this community itself It doesn't warrant it. I didn't hear anything about any kind of a survey that those buildings would be full. They could sit there potentially 9 months to a year like we have now, which would be a place for vandalism, for children, for trash, for whatever. Yes, it'll bring jobs, but I don't think at this point that it's warranted, and also the traffic situation. You'd have to just be there to live it. I'm just saying that I do have a little bit of insight into it, and it's pretty blurry.
Have your name again, please.
Kathy Biederman.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Josie Mullen, and I also live in Adelaide Estates, and I'm very opposed to this project. Actually, my house is the second house from the corner of Old Postal Lane. So my backyard is that project area. A three-story building, I would come out on my deck and I would be like this, looking up at it, because it's very close. Also, one of the main things for me, of course, is that corner, the safety. I'm always, you know, in thoughts of safety for others. And I have listened many a times to screams coming out of the vehicles that are involved in accidents. And I have opened my house so that people involved in the accident could come and use my phone, use my facilities. And I know that any other addition to traffic in that area would be detrimental to anyone who uses that road. So I am deeply opposed, and I hope that you give this some really consideration. Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you want my address? I didn't give my address like the others. I don't know if you want that.
Please.
Do you want it?
Yes, we'd
love it. Josie Mullen, not that I care. 34740 Brandon Drive, and that's in Adelaide Estates, Rehoboth. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in opposition that would have something new to add?
My name is Margit Riley. I live on 34746 Brandon Drive, Adelaide Estates. I am very much opposed to this because I will see the building as well. And I agree with everything everyone has said before me, so I won't try to repeat anything. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, the rest of these people, are they here for this? Or?
I don't know.
Well, maybe we should.
Want to do a show of hands?
Yes. All those that are in favor of the project, if you have a show of hands so we can count the number in favor. Okay, those in opposition?
I'm shocked.
Oh. Sir Lank, how many did you get?
I was.
Okay, I got 21. Let me.
Close enough. Everybody but four.
Okay. We have the 21.
Okay.
And is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition that would have something new?
Mr.
Sir?
Freeman.
My name is Brooke Freeman. I live down on Robinsonville Road, right down from where this proposal is being this project is being proposed. If you don't mind, I'd like to make reference to the maps. If you'd like, I'll bring a map over so I can speak into the...
Well, yeah, what do you, either way.
Whatever you...
Whatever is easiest for you, sir.
I just want to make sure I make it clear to everyone and when I'm speaking. As I pointed out, right here is where I live. So I'm very familiar with everything that's going on in that road. I just want to remind you that you have pending a development back here at the cottage, the urban cottage, and then you also have a a daycare that wants to go up there. And as they pointed out in their presentation, I'll use the other map, yes, there is commercial all around, but this is an ideal buffer zone. When I say buffer zone, using Plantation Road and keep it on the other side. There was a gentleman that spoke to you earlier about the way traffic backed up. I just want to let you know that there was a corn stand here at the end of the Robinsonville Road this year, and I helped man that for the entire season. So I saw what goes on between 10 and 11 in the morning, clear up till 6 o'clock at night. Not only does it back up past the postal zone, the postal lane, it goes clear back past Robinsonville Road, where people would actually stop to allow people to go through. And it's not just on weekends. That happened during the week. So I'd like to take that argument away and off the table, because that's not true. It does happen during the week. If you've been pointed out, we have over here on 24, we have an ideal spot and of medical. And I personally am more aware probably of medical need than anyone else. I'm a survivor of cancer, and I know the importance of medical facilities. I think already approval that you've done on Kings Highway going in town next to where the funeral home is. I forget the name of that particular proposal, but there is professional buildings that's being allowed to go in up along there, which is off Route 1 going in toward Lewis. And there's ample places along 24 and still out on Route 1. The reason Route 1 has got so much commercialization is because it was zoned that way. And that's why Lowe's is where it is, and the rest of them. It's not that you did conditional use, so it's not a good argument to use those facilities as reason for commercialization. It was stated earlier, all the conditional use, and one is right next to where I live, and I have no objection to it because I stood before you and made that statement. I don't know where they were referring to as a small engine repair shop. I'm not sure more where that is. But anyway, mom and pa's are very appropriate. If there's a need for a hardship, that's very appropriate. But there is no need of a hardship here. And I would like to also take another map and refer to something where I think is a negative impact. As you pointed out in your questioning about this pond, it looks good. Mm-hmm. It's flattering, but it has nothing to do with this. My understanding is that what has been approved here, this is their drainage, and it's going to be allowed to go back on their property. So there's no gain whatsoever by the realignment of this road. That's my understanding, unless I'm wrong and I stand to be corrected. But they'll be limited to here. One of the most negative things that I see in any of the developments that you've allowed, be it a subdivision or everything else, you don't provide adequate buffer zone to continue to maintain farming. As you can see right here, there is absolutely no buffer zone to protect the right to continue to farm, to use spray, to do, and in that area, you know, they do a lot of aerial spraying. Mm-hmm. It's agriculture. You're going to be drifting, and there's going to be nothing but complaining all the time. And again, you got the plantation here that you can ideally say, where do we draw the line? And I'm asking you to draw the line there. What would happen as soon as you allow this? And as I pointed out at a previous time when this came up, as soon as you allow this to happen right here, you're opening up the potential of anything that has to do with business on all this property here. And you open up a can of worms. You all know who the property owners are there. And coming down the road here, not too far future, is you're going to have to deal with them wanting to rezone and there on King's Highway.
Your shirt's rubbing the microphone. That's making that crazy noise. They all think you're, in the audience, think you're growling or something.
Am I growling?
No.
they might think so out there. I know you're not.
Okay. Again, they pointed out very clear here about all the commercialization, but it is up on Route 1 with limited conditional ma and pa. So please do not allow this to happen here. And again, once you allow this to happen here, I think you're setting a precedent for them to come in and justify business. And I'm still not quite sure what the word business definition means in your application. But again, should you allow it to go through, please restrict it with a clear definition. We have adequate facilities, and the engineers that designed this looked at this. Lead may be very appropriate, but there's more adequate places. Like I said, the pond looks good, but it has nothing to do with this project, and it's not going to enhance it one bit. And I heard the word might, and I heard in the application the word attempt. That does not mean that they will do it. And this troubles me and some of your other approvals that you do is, I don't know if you lack the authority to go back and stop a project if they don't continue with what they attempted to do or what has led you to believe they're going to do. But you can look back and see many other projects. The buffer zones disappeared, and they haven't even shown a buffer zone to allow and protect farming. Mm-hmm. That is a right, I believe, that's...
Don't you have to have 30-foot buffer for farms?
Not required.
It looks to me...
Not required?
The commercial application, unless you make it a condition of approval.
Unless you make it a condition, okay.
Then you lose your parking.
Well, there you go.
Right, we know that. Mm-hmm. All right.
I certainly thank you for your time. That you allowed me to present myself. I'm a lifelong resident, and over 20 years ago, I came and asked that you not allow the, not any of you, but your father was one there, that would allow the plantation because the roads weren't designed for that. And it's kind of interesting, I look back, the peak traffic at that time was 600 and some cars a day. And the plantation itself is going to increase that to 6,000 just by itself. You have other proposals. You have the land right across the road that, from what I understand, has already been allowed, and they withdrew as being part of this project. But that particular intersection, if you won't deny it, would you please defer action on this until that intersection has been improved?
Well, we have to defer tonight, but...
Yep.
Right. We do have to.
But, I mean, they're not planning to do anything as far as construction until I don't know how many more accidents, but 2014 is the earliest you'll see them break ground. They haven't even required the land on the acquisition, mm-hmm. and that's part of the record. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak? Anyone else? If not, Mr. President, the public hearing shall be closed.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion we defer action.
Is there a second?
The application?
Second. A motion and a second to defer. Any discussion? If not, Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yep.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Both yes, motion carries.
Need one of my books back.
Make a motion we adjourn.
Second, please.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Yes, aye.
Opposed?
Grab the ball game.